Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, clear evidence comes to light in the form of EVPs that connect the living to the dead. Also, does a large group of Civil War soldiers still reside in a residence in the Kansas City area?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our number. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com, the website to write in your real ghost story or email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Be sure to join our Facebook group. It is out there as well. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online group to join in the conversations about our shows. If you're not already there, we greatly appreciate that. Tony Bruschi, that's me. Carol Hughes, that's you. And you're joining us today on the program. Thank you for joining us for some more ghost stories, Carol.
I'm gonna join the group.
Good.
I think I will.
Good. And you have to say I'm that Carol. When you're that Carol, everyone will know who you are. And you just say that Carol.
Hey everybody. I'm that Carol.
And they're like, oh, that Carol. And that'll be how it goes. That's exactly how it works. So when you see that Carol being referenced, it's that Carol in our Facebook groups. But join, there's lots of people there. There's like 1,500.
That'll narrow it down.
There are like 1,500 people there so far, I think. So that's good. Our regular page is like 25,000, but everybody talks on the group. Just as soon as you have a bunch of people on the regular page, then it's like, oh, that's not good enough. Now we have to make a group. It's like, okay, let's make a group from scratch. But a lot of folks join that right away. I don't know why that is, but it is how it works, so we, you know, roll with it. 855-853-4802.
Until next week, Facebook will come up with something new.
I'm just waiting for MySpace to make its comeback, and then we can all be, doing that thing again. I was happy with MySpace. Did you do MySpace when it was around?
I never did.
You didn't?
That was back when I just didn't see. It's like, that sort of thing's never going to take off.
I had a MySpace page.
It sounded like my mother when I said that.
I had it around the time we had met, because that was a big thing, like around that time at the radio station. And I got to have the MySpace page. I remember when Facebook came out too, and I was thinking, I don't know, everybody's on MySpace. It took me a long time to get there. I also poo-pooed Twitter for a while too. I still don't quite understand the purpose of Twitter with everything else, but... And I don't know, do a lot of people on average use Twitter, or is it more so just to kind of watch brands and celebrities tweeting? Do you ever tweet?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
If I have a reason to.
Yeah.
But I kind of just look at other people's pages, actually. I think it's a place where people can really be mean, and they can say really mean things. And actually, they can do that on Facebook too, because I've had both of that. But I just don't totally get the Twitter as much.
How about Snapchat? Are you doing Snapchat?
I love Snapchat.
I think it's fun. Snapchat.
No, let me take that back. I don't love it. I love to make funny videos with it.
Sure.
But the whole app, to me, looks like it's designed for middle school. It's just kind of odd.
The way
it's designed, the way it's laid out, it just looks like this is designed for middle school kids. But you can make really funny little videos with that.
You can.
So I love that. Instagram's probably my favorite for some reason, because my whole feed is just dogs. I follow every interesting dog there is. So when I need a pick-me-up, I just look at Instagram.
I like Instagram. I don't use it much, but I need to use it more. It's one of those things where, like, I'm trying to really get more on and involved with social media on a good aspect, because it is too depressing most of the time. So I'm just really like, okay, I have to use this for our shows because other people use it, but I don't want to be consumed by all the negative stuff. So I'm really trying to find the positive things and push positive or interesting things out there into it. But Instagram, I got to do more on. I love looking at the pictures. It's fun. I love photography. I don't know why I'm not more into it, but I have a couple creepy photos I've put up there, but we do have an Instagram page too, if anybody wants to find that. I think it's Ghost Podcast.
Follow puppies. They can make you happy.
Just follow puppies. That's all you got to do.
Puppies and kittens.
855-853-4802 is our number at the program. Let's jump over to our first story of today. It says, where do I begin? I guess I've always believed in ghosts and spirits. As a kid, I remember seeing and hearing things that I could not explain. But because I was a kid, it was always chalked up to as having a bad dream. I couldn't understand objectively about what's going on. I don't honestly believe in ghosts until I was about 25 years old. I was living with a friend, and he had a wife and one kid at the time. And his wife would sometimes tell me that she has a ghost that follows her, when she was alone, weird things would happen, like all the cabinets in the kitchen would blow open or shadow people. Well, one night my friend gets a call from her, and she asked him to get home soon because their daughter had an accident. We got there. She told us that she was watching TV when she heard her daughter wake up crying and screaming, "Don't let it get me." Then the child soiled herself right in front of her mother. The next day, my buddy's wife decides to do an EVP session with her friend and took some pictures. And what they got on tape is chilling and really made me into a believer. The EVP is disembodied. You can't really hear what they're saying, but it's very obvious who is who. After that, I started to get my own personal experiences at night. I'd feel like someone is climbing into bed with me. My buddy's grandfather was a fisherman, and he had his fireman house clock that had a bell on top of it. That bell has no mechanical attachment, so it would never ring. And one night, I was up watching TV at a meager volume because everyone else was sleeping, and I hear that bell ring on its own. Another thing happened in front of all of us. The kitchen had a ceiling fan, and it turns on through the kitchen light switch. I remember hearing the light switch click and the lights shut off. A few moments later, we all look at each other and ask the same question, "Did you hear that?" And as we go and investigate, I notice that the ceiling fan is still spitting but slowing down. I turned that switch on and off, and we all agreed that was the sound we heard. I do have the EVP that I can share. I have many other stories and a theory as to what ghosts are and to what also what demons are. It might blow your mind. I also get plenty of EVPs from other investigations that I've done. Please let me know if you want to know more. So, yes, please do send in your thoughts and more on that story. Thoughts on the lights and the fan and all that going on and off, Carol?
Totally. I think all that happened.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't want to know more about is the demon part.
I'm curious. I do. I want to hear, because it's always interesting sometimes people's theories, and that's the thing. It's all theories. It's all stories, interpretations of what happened. And sometimes you hear something, you're like, I didn't think of it that way. In fact, I get that quite often where, especially on this topic, because you can kind of sit there and have a way of thinking about it for so long, and all of a sudden, oh, well, that is possible because of that other story I heard the other day. And it always twists things around a little bit more and makes you less sure of everything on this topic. But I'm interested. What don't you, other than the fact that it's about demons.
You screen it first.
Other than the fact that it's about demons, why don't you want to hear about it?
Oh, because when I was a kid, I read The Exorcist. Yeah, that was just stupid to do when I was like 12. But I read the book, and then I got kind of fascinated by it. And then there was, I think it was like my friends told me things, like if you read a certain name or if you say a certain demon's name out loud, like it will haunt you forever. Mm-hmm. So I've never forgotten that.
I believe, you shouldn't be saying those names out loud or calling out those names. And we specifically, when we get stories in, sometimes people will write in the name. I will edit that out. And if it's on a call or something, if I know it's coming up, I will drop it. If it airs or if it pops up and I'm unaware that it's there, it will be edited out. So we don't try to broadcast that stuff because I think there is something to some of that. I don't think all of it's just, kids' stories. That's an area I don't ever want to mess with, but I'm interested in hearing accounts about it. I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of fascinated by the whole thing. I just don't want to know too much.
Sure. Amityville Horror was 12-year-old summer reading. I remember sitting on the porch reading that and then actually going into the library And remember, there was a summer reading program, and if you had read so many books or so many pages, you could get prizes from the prize chest or something. And I remember the librarians being very surprised and shocked. In fact, I think I was younger than 12. I think I was probably around 10, that I'm coming in, and other kids are, you know, reading nothing near the level of Amityville Horror. And I'm like, okay, I did my summer reading. I read the Amityville Horror. And I think I actually won.
Can
like,
I check out The Exorcist?
Yeah, I think I got like a free kitty cone at Dairy Queen or something for reading the Amityville Horror that summer. So it made it all worth it. Go figure. Let's go to our next story. It comes in and says, sometime while I was in college, I was watching TV late at night in my mom's room while she was working the night shift in the ER. I was obviously watching a paranormal TV show, and it was around 2 or 3 in the morning, so my nerves were already on end. For some background, my house is entirely new, and it was built on untouched land in a suburb of Kansas City. Weird paranormal things at home have happened before, such as doors opening, strange noises, etc., and these usually happen in my mom's room whenever my younger brother Joey and I were together and alone in the house. Before this major incident that I'm writing in about happened, and my brother and I were sitting in the living room one day watching TV sometime in the middle of the afternoon. We heard heavy, slow footsteps above us, walking diagonally in one direction, and it stopped once it reached the end of the room. We freaked out, but things like that happened more frequently before this incident. I was watching TV and felt a heavy, tense feeling around me. I became super uncomfortable, and I felt that something was in the bathroom, which was to the right of my mom's bed. The bathroom is wide and empty, but I thought that this heavy feeling was coming from the bathroom, that something was in there looking at me. After staring towards the bathroom, I felt that something came close to my right shoulder like it was standing by my bedside. My arm hair stood up, and I felt that the sounds from my own breathing were bouncing off something that was right beside me. I became so scared that I slowly turned towards the left, and while I was doing that, I glimpsed at the hallway and loft area towards the end of the room, which was pitch black, and I saw a white curtain-like thing zoom from the right to the left where my brother's room was. I yelped and ran out of bed to my brother, who was downstairs sleeping, and we were both scared for the rest of the night. A few weeks later, I was back at college, and my mom told me that she was worried that my younger brother was too scared to stay at home alone while she worked the night shift. She invited some of her coworkers, who claimed to be ghost investigators, and they surveyed the house with some paranormal gadgets. Even though I had my own experience, I laughed at the idea of these people waving ghost remotes around my house. Turns out that they found paranormal presences in my house. They said 10 Civil War soldiers resided there. One of them had a heart attack and another had an amputated leg. They said that they were mostly good, but were keeping one supposedly malicious spirit away from us. The scariest part was when my mom told me that they found a 30-year-old woman in a white dress in the loft area. I don't know anything about the history of the land that my house was built on, and I have no idea whether there was any Civil War activity in that area. But I believe my experience was real. I'll never forget the tense feeling I had before seeing the woman's white dress flutter across the hall. Thanks for reading, and I hope this makes the show. So if you were a kid, would you want to know that there's 10 Civil War soldiers in your house? Or is that something that maybe mom should just hold on to the knowledge of?
But I think the kid already knew there was something going on.
Yeah, but it's just good to have it defined is my question.
I don't know. I think if you know that they're there and they're keeping away the negative spirits.
Sure.
But you know that, and you don't think of Kansas and the Civil War necessarily, mm-hmm. but they had Civil War battles around Lawrence, Kansas and Kansas City, Kansas.
Yep.
So, you know, because they wanted Kansas to be a free state and they didn't.
And all through Missouri, too.
There was a lot of Civil War activity around there. Mm-hmm. So that certainly could have, you know, because there might not have been anything built there, but it doesn't mean that people couldn't have died there.
Yeah. There's stories literally of the creek that I can see from this window of soldiers marching up and down this valley right here. And campsites, and I don't know the exact stories. They tell it on the scenic rail train that is right out the way here too. When the train goes north towards Kansas City, but I believe it's something to the effect of there were Confederate soldiers that were camping there towards the end of the war, or at the end of the war, and they just kept getting, you know, driven out further and further. And some had, there was something where somebody, I think like it was like a flash flood or something, and a bunch of them passed away and washed away, literally, because these flash floods in these valleys are crazy, and happened very, very fast, where they had like survived the war, but then a bunch of them got wiped out literally by a storm. Just like that.
Wow.
But there's a lot of interesting stories through these the Ozark Mountains. Speaking of Ozarks, and we talk sometimes about, you know, shows and stuff that we're watching. Have you seen, and this is not an advertisement, this is not anything of that nature, I'm just curious, have you seen Ozark on Netflix yet?
No, I've been wanting to watch it, though.
Jason Bateman.
Good, bad.
Great. And
I have not seen it.
I know it's been out for like
I've
a year.
Heard that.
The next season starts, I believe, in August. And living here, it kind of makes it a little even more interesting, because half of it, it's supposed to take place at Lake of the Ozarks, which is north of us a little bit, but very similar type setting. And it's just kind of fun to see, like, it's very true to life, I would say, of how some of the areas are. But a good show recommendation. And again, not an advertisement. They didn't buy a spot. I just like to share when there's a good show to talk about. We just finished it up. We binged it for about a week.
I got to check it
out. Now I got to finish up Stranger Things. The second season, we still haven't gotten through that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, guys. My name's Selena from Calgary, Alberta. I've called in to tell a few stories before, and I'm back again. And I'd like to tell a story about my grandmother and my grandfather, mostly my grandmother. Just stories of her childhood and stories that she told me growing up about her paranormal experiences, and practically folklore within our family, which is a story that I'm going to be telling tonight, something that my grandmother did experience. So I'm going to get right into it. My grandmother and my grandfather on my mom's side of the family are from an island. Well, not really. It's not an island. It's a country in South America called Guyana. Guyana is populated by African American people and East Indian people from India, because the British people brought them there as slaves in the 1800s. My family is ethnically, we are Indian. We are from East India. So we grew up with Indian culture, just living in Guyana. As a part of this culture, my grandmother was raised a strict Hindu. And because of this, there was a lot of, I'd say, what I believe to be paranormal interference with her life, because my grandparents have told me a lot of stories about dark paranormal experiences that a lot of people do happen to experience that are from Guyana. And I specifically believe that it's not just Guyana. I believe it's a lot of third world countries like that, just because for certain beliefs. The stories that my grandmother told me, one in specific that I called to talk about, is something that's always haunted me as a kid. My grandparents, my mom, are very superstitious people. They always would tell me, you know, don't put your purse on the floor. It's bad luck. And I think the main one was if I were to go out with my friends and were to come home past 9 o'clock, I'd have to walk in backwards. And as a kid, I never understood this, and I never walked in backwards. But, you know, my grandma was loose on it, because now she lives in North America. She lives in Canada, in Toronto, and that's where I grew up. And she didn't really take it as serious as she did when she was a kid, because she had an experience with this when she was a kid. My grandmother told me that when she lived in Guyana, one of her aunts had come to visit. And when her aunt was in Guyana, her aunt went to a movie theater to go see an Indian film. And while she's at this movie theater, an old woman came up to her of East Indian ethnicity like us. And she was speaking in Hindi, but she was speaking gibberish. Like, not gibberish, but she was speaking nonsense practically, because nothing she was saying was making sense. And she looked at my grandmother's aunt, and all she said to her was, "You're going to be home past 9, walking backwards." And she walked away, mumbling on. everyone thought that she was insane. Everyone laughed at her and just went into the movie theater and enjoyed their movie. That night, my grandmother's aunt did end up getting back to my grandmother's house late, past 9 o'clock. And she it kind of reminded her of that little incident she had earlier in the day where the woman told her, you know, if we're going to get home past 9 o'clock, walking backwards. And she just laughed it off and walked into the house at 10 o'clock at night, frontwards, normally, like anyone does walk into a house. Anyway, according to my grandmother, this proved to be horrible luck, because when my grandma looked outside that same night, there was something walking across their lawn. And nothing has terrified my grandma as much as that, really. It gives me the chills just talking about it, because when my grandmother's aunt had walked into the house that night and had not turned around to walk in backwards, when she turned around to close the door after she had walked in frontwards instead of backwards, like instructed by the old lady, there was a demon in front of her. Guyanese people call it a bungee. But it's practically an evil spirit. And the reason that the superstition exists of why you should walk into the house backwards after 9 o'clock is that a lot of people, especially in Guyana, believe that if you're coming into the house after nine, after sunset, evil spirits will follow you in if your back is walking into the house. Like, if you're just normally walking into the house, you're going to follow you in. So what you have to do is you have to turn around, and what it's going to do is it's going to trick the evil spirit to make it look like you're walking outside, even though you're walking inside. And my grandmother's aunt did not pay attention to this, and she walked into the house normally past 10 o'clock, and when she went to close the door, there was an evil spirit standing in front of her. And in Guyanese culture and in Indian culture, we have this thing called a cutlass. It's like a knife, it's practically a machete, and you do rituals with it, and automatically my great-grandmother started to hex this thing, to bless it practically, to get it away from the house, to get rid of it. And it did not go away, because, and this is where I just previously stated, my grandma looked outside when she was a little girl, and this evil spirit was walking back and forth across her lawn. And it was doing that for about a week straight until my grandmother's aunt left. And this story literally gives me the worst chills ever, because I can handle normal paranormal stories, but when it comes to stuff like this, stuff that is old from my grandparents' homeland, you know, stuff that's tied to my Indian culture, stuff that, like, it gives me the chills. And to this day, I know I don't live at home anymore, but to this day, I don't walk into the house normally past 9 o'clock. So yeah, I just thought I'd share that little piece of story that my grandmother had told me growing up. Personally, I don't know if it's 100% truth, because there is that small possibility that she could have just been scaring us for the fun of it, because my grandma is quite the jokester, but I personally believe it is true, because my mom even told me, growing up, my grandmother, they lived in a house that wasn't too, I'd call it paranormally friendly. And there would be times where my mom would be out with her friends at night, and my grandma would call her and tell her not to come home until you see the light on in the living room, because my grandmother was doing blessings in the house and didn't want my mom to bring anything in. So even though my grandma's a jokester and she could have been pulling her legs, she is quite superstitious. So, and I didn't state before, but she did grow up a Hindu, strict Hindu, but ever since she married my grandpa, who's also Indian Guyanese, she's converted to Christianity and is a very devoted Christian. So now she still is very superstitious, but she's also a very devoted Christian. And I think that really has brought a lot of light to our family. So that's just my story, and I hope you guys enjoy. And I love this podcast, and I hope that this gets aired. Thank you.
It's always fascinating to hear about other cultures and superstitions and belief systems and then also what supernaturally happens around them. Did you ever have any superstitions or anything that you followed or still do to this day?
I don't think so.
My name's Selena.
Even if it's after 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, that like things like that in one culture, and then like I've never heard of anything like that. I always find that fascinating.
Sure. I'm not really a superstitious person. I know like sometimes Jen calls it like Southern superstitions, which some of the stuff that she has. And I don't know if that's, I believe it's accurate. I don't know. But like, don't rock a rocking chair when nobody's in it. And so sometimes I'll just go rock rocking chairs and just kind of giggle and walk away.
Oh, great. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Like, but there's things like that. And she's a little more superstitious than I am, but I don't think I really have anything that I go. I mean, I'll walk under ladders all the time when I'm working on projects. There's nothing I can say that I personally really follow superstition-wise, and it's not to discount anybody's superstitions at all. I'm just saying personally how I operate, that I necessarily really, live by, I guess.
Well, and that's interesting in that case, too, because the grandma told her, and she's still after 9 o'clock walking in the house backwards.
It stuck. It still is.
She's listening to what her grandma said. Well, right?
I guess so.
She lives in Canada. She's not even from it.
That would be very interesting if you have some friends over. You're just good getting home and you're bringing some people back. And all of a sudden, like, okay, you guys go on in. And then, wait a second, I have to go on my own. And you're walking in the house backwards. And they're all kind of like, what's going on here? No,
but there she is doing it again.
And you got to explain the whole story. I mean, at least now it's on tape. You can just pull up the episode
every
and go.
Time.
Listen to this, everybody. This is what's happening. And then the guests.
But the thing is, if you're told that story when you're a kid, you would grow up and walk in the house backwards.
You would
night at 9 o'clock. If your grandmother told you that, yeah, absolutely,
totally.
I believe it.
I totally would too. 855-853-4802. One more call before we wrap up the show for today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name's Misha, and I'm calling in from the UK. This is a bit of a long story I've got for you. It's from a preschool I used to work at, which is called Little Footsteps. So when I started there were a few weird goings on, like children would wave at like the wall or the air or nothing, and sometimes like cupboards would be unlocked, like ones that were always supposed to be locked. One day the manager called a staff meeting to tell us that the water bill was through the roof and that we needed to check that the children were turning off the tap after they used their toilet, after they washed their hands. And after the manager left, one of the girls turned to me and said, "It's actually probably the ghost turning the tap on." And I was like, what are you talking about? So she started to tell me some of her experiences. Now I'm going to just pause here to let you know the layout of the nursery, because it's sort of relevant to some of the things that went on. So it was a converted house, and downstairs to the left was like a toddler room, to the right was the preschool, and that's where I worked. And then if you went upstairs, above on the left, so above the toddler room, was a kitchen and a dining room where the children would go and have their lunch. And above on the right was a baby room, and it had like a little annex room next to it that the children would sleep in, and there was like a curtain across what used to be the door frame so that they could block out the light so the babies could sleep. Back to the story. The girl that worked there told me that a lot of people had said that as they were coming in, the stairs were like directly in front of you as you come in the front door. As they came in to open up in the mornings, they would see just a pair of legs at the top of the stairs, and the torso would just be smoke. And about three or four different girls had said they'd seen that. One of the other things that happened was this girl that was talking to me said that she worked in the baby room, and she said that she had one baby asleep, and they had a baby monitor, and the rest were up, so all of the staff were in with the awake children. and the baby started crying, and they were listening in on the monitor, and somebody started going, shh, 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 it's okay, and they started singing a lullaby, and they looked at each other, and they were like, who's that? We're all in here. And then when they walked through, there was nobody in there. And the third thing she told me was that one of the other girls had seen a shadow figure in the window from when they were outside in the garden area. They saw it like looking out. Well, even though they couldn't see the face, it felt like it was looking out at them and at the children. So I was quite intrigued, and at this point I was quite sceptical. And I went home and I did some research into the property, and I found out that there had been a fire there in about the 70s in the house. And it didn't say online whether anyone had died, just that that property had had a fire. But I kind of didn't really think much of it and just carried on with my day. With my job, and I slowly started to notice more and more things happening. I should say at this point I'm quite sensitive, and I've always been quite open to things in the past, but I always try to like see the logical things behind things. I'd sort of thought, oh, they've all got themselves all in a bit of a flap because they're all saying there's a ghost, and they're all seeing it. So I kind of didn't believe it. So anyway, what happened while I was working there was there was like a little area that the children used to like to dance in the preschool room. We'd put music on and we used to take photos of everything to be like, oh, here's your child writing, here's your child doing this, doing that. And we used to take pictures of them dancing. And every time I took photos of a child dancing, I would see orbs in the picture, but no other time, in no other photo. And it was the same camera every time. Occasionally I would hear above me, it would sound like a child running. And if you remember, I said above the preschool room where I worked was a baby room, and last I remembered, babies can't run. Their footsteps were too light to be an adult. So that did freak me out a bit, especially as the name of the nursery was Little Footsteps. And then things sort of started to ramp up a little bit. There was an area in the corner that was like, it had like a wooden frame around it, and it was where they had their playhouse, their like role play house, that they could go into. And it sort of had a door frame, so it was harder for grown-ups to get into, but we could look over the top. One day I was working and there were only about three children in because it was a like public holiday. And there was only one boy in, and I heard crying, and I was calling for him, and I was saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Where are you? And he came running up to me, and he was smiling and laughing, and he was like, I'm fine, what are you talking about? But I could still hear the crying, and I tried to listen to where it was coming from, and I heard it in that sort of play area in the corner. So I looked over the top, and as I looked, it stopped, and the sound completely stopped, the crying stopped. And then the next thing that happened to me was actually a full body apparition, and that happened in the same area. So in that area, a little girl had just wet herself and the area was full of wee. I sort of like, I left the little door open so it would be easier for me to crawl in with all the cleaning stuff. And I told the children to stay away from it. And I went to get the cleaning stuff, locked the cupboard, and as I was coming back, I saw a little boy run into it and close the door behind him. And I shouted, don't go in there, there's wee in there. And I said the name of the little boy, and the boy whose name I said tapped me on the leg and looked up at me and said, don't go in where? Which really freaked me out because he was the only boy that had the same colour hair, the same frame, that I was 100% sure it was him. So I went back over to the area to see who had run in there, and it was empty. There was nobody there. So that's my experience of the nursery. My opinion is that there were actually three spirits there, and I think that in the fire, a little boy and his mum, maybe, or his carer, a woman that was looking after him, were in the house at the time. And I don't know about the shadow figure, but I feel like there was a dark male entity in the nursery as well. But I luckily never experienced that. I think that the little boy was actually quite playful, and he always just wanted to dance and have fun. And I think he probably really enjoyed the fact it was a nursery and he got to play with other children all the time. So that's my story. I'd love to hear what your opinion is. I love your show, and I'd really like to say hi to Becky, who got me hooked on you and made my husband really jealous, because he's been trying to get me to listen to podcasts for years, and this is the first one that I'm literally listening to it like every minute of the day. So thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
We try to give you a better mix of ghost stories for your workday. A refreshing mix from the 80s, 90s, and today is what I like to say. Thoughts?
I found that whole story fascinating.
Yeah.
The way she told it, that when they heard a woman like speaking or singing to the in the baby room. Mm-hmm. And then the orbs when the kids are dancing, but not other times. I thought it was a fascinating story.
It's something that clearly it seems to like the kids, and in real life probably had a real affinity for the kids, and is still trying to, you know, interact and get joy out of that interaction.
Because she did make a good point. Like, if there is a child there, it's nice that it is a nursery, mm-hmm. so the child can have those interactions with other kids,
yeah.
which is kind of beautiful to me.
And it's not let's not freak the hell out of the children nursery story, which we've had that sort of thing before.
Yeah.
But this is not that. This is like, okay, if you're gonna have a ghost in a nursery, this is probably the best case scenario of what you can have, be interacting
and
with
one
the kids.
That cares about the babies.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Very interesting.
I just thought it was very interesting.
It is very, and I love hearing the stories from all different parts of the world too, and how some things are described in different places as well. So thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us today. Really do appreciate it. That is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to join our Facebook group. Look up Real Ghost Stories Online and search group after that. Also, be sure to check out other podcasts, The Grave Talks, some awesome interviews there. If you like our interview shows, talking about all different haunted places, Old Charleston Jail. Just did an interview with the folks there the other day, and that is a really interesting one. Check it out at thegravetalks.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.